15-year-old Shiamara Batista's body betrays her daily. Curvy and tall, she attracts unwanted attention from men on the Harlem streets and suspicion from her devoutly Catholic mother. "My body is a threat, a distraction, a sin waiting to happen," she writes in the leather notebook her twin brother gave her. In this sacred space, Shiamara, whose name ironically means one who is ready for war, pours out questions about faith, desire, and identity that would earn her punishment if spoken aloud. When her English teacher introduces her to slam poetry, Shiamara discovers that her words might be more powerful than her fists ever were. But in a household where obedience is non-negotiable, how can she claim her voice without losing her family? Through verse that pulses with raw emotion and cultural tension, we witness a young woman's journey to self-expression in a world determined to silence her. Shiamara's home is a minefield of rigid expectations. Her mother, Alta Gracia, a Dominican immigrant who once aspired to be a nun, enforces strict Catholic doctrine uncompromisingly. Her father remains distant, a reformed womanizer who rarely speaks. Meanwhile, her twin brother Xavier, twin, thrives academically and embraces their mother's religious demands. "I was born a hurricane, while twin was born a whisper," Shiamara reflects. While twin receives praise for academic and religious devotion, Shiamara faces criticism for her developing body and questioning mind. Her challenges to religious teachings earn punishment rather than discussion. Gender shapes family expectations. Shiamara shoulders more household chores, faces stricter limitations, and must constantly guard against temptation. When she protests this unfairness, her mother simply states, "Mira, muchacha, life ain't fair. That's why we have to earn our entrance into heaven." This family portrait captures love entangled with control. Behind her mother's harshness lies genuine fear of American cultural corruption, while her father's silence masks his uncertainty about connecting with his fierce daughter. When twin gives Shiamara a leather notebook for their birthday, it becomes her lifeline. In its pages, she discovers freedom to express feelings with no other outlet. "Sometimes I dress my thoughts as poems," she explains, "trying to see if my world changes once I write them down." Her poetry evolves from documenting experiences to exploring metaphor and rhythm, with hip-hop artists like Nicki Minaj providing inspiration because she needed people saying words about what hurt them. The turning point comes when Miss Galeano shows a spoken word performance. "I don't breathe for 3 minutes," Shiamara recalls, feeling like she's talking directly to me. This validates her experiences and suggests a path forward. In poetry club, Shiamara finds community with accepting peers. At her first open mic at the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, the audience's response confirms what Miss Galeano believes. Her words deserve to be heard. Poetry becomes both shield and sword, providing space for processing trauma while becoming a weapon against silence. Through performance, she reclaims power over her narrative, transcending imposed limitations. Shiamara's relationship with Aman is central to her journey towards self-determination. As her lab partner, he shows genuine interest in her thoughts, connecting through shared music and poetry. This relationship challenges Shiamara's internalized shame about her body. While her mother taught her that good girls suppress their sexuality and that her developing body is problematic, with Aman, she begins to experience her body as a source of pleasure rather than shame. When they kiss, she describes it as his mouth soft against mine, and her heart becoming one of Darwin's finches learning to fly. Dancing together, she feels desire mixed with uncertainty. "It feels so good, I have to push away. I need some air." When her mother discovers them, the consequences are harsh. Shiamara is forced to kneel on rice while praying, called cuero, whore, and warned that boys will make a dish rag of your spine, revealing how female sexuality is policed while male desire is normalized. Importantly, when uncomfortable at Aman's apartment, Shiamara stops, and he respects her boundaries, teaching her autonomy beyond physical intimacy. Despite sharing the same womb, cradle, and our whole lives the same room, Shiamara and Twin lead vastly different lives. Xavier is small, scrawny, straight-up scarecrow skinny, academically gifted, and compliant with their parents' expectations, an altar boy at a specialized high school. Shiamara, the self-described hurricane, feels like an outsider who's always protected her gentler brother. This creates a pattern where she takes punishment while Twin receives praise. Their relationship shifts when Shiamara discovers Twin is gay. "I've always known without knowing," she reflects. "He's mommy's miracle who would become her sin." This forces her to confront her role in systems of silence. Their bond thrives on mutual support. Twin encourages Shiamara's poetry and helps her practice performances. Similarly, she gives him a comic featuring Iceman, a super dope gay mutant, assuring him, "I'm always on your side." Their journeys reveal how expression is policed differently by gender and conformity, suggesting liberation requires both finding your voice and supporting others. Religion serves as both antagonist and ally in Shiamara's journey. Catholicism initially appears restrictive. Confirmation classes, daily mass, and constant prayer create a rhythm that leaves little room for questioning. Her observations about gender inequity are incisive. "When I'm told girls shouldn't, when the only girl I'm supposed to be was an impregnated virgin who was probably scared shitless," this highlights how religious teachings can reinforce gender constraints. Yet Father Sean emerges as a nuanced character who validates questioning as spiritual growth. He acknowledges that Catholicism invites curiosity and tells her mother Shiamara needs to answer her questions before confirmation. By the novel's end, Shiamara develops a more complex relationship with faith, reflecting that when people gather to discuss being human and what hurts us, that too is church. This evolution shows religion isn't inherently oppressive. Its interpretation determines whether teachings constrain or liberate. Shiamara ultimately reclaims religious language on her own terms. The Poet X celebrates language as both weapon and bridge, a tool for self-defense and connection. Shiamara discovers that words protect her more effectively than fists ever could. When her mother burns her notebook, their confrontation becomes competing languages, Shiamara's poems against her mother's prayers, showing how words become weapons in family conflicts. Yet language also builds bridges. When Shiamara performs at the slam with her family present, words become the medium for understanding. Her father's invitation to dance acknowledges this. Dancing is a good way to tell someone you love them. The novel's title captures this duality. The X represents both target and signature, Shiamara claiming authorship of her story, transforming a symbol of negation into affirmation. Shiamara reflects that learning to believe in my own words has been my most freeing experience, bringing the most light. And isn't that what a poem is? A lantern glowing in the dark. We all carry unspoken truths. Speaking them creates liberation and space for others to be heard too.